Good morning, everyone. So glad to be here with you today right now. Even with our wonderful band, it just reminded me of the unplugged days, you know, when we didn't have all the fancy stuff. Amazing praise team. So we thank you for that. You know, I've spoken in conferences and in groups before, but it's been a long way. I even preached many years ago. But this is different, whole different animal. So thank you so much for everyone for praying for me, not just for myself, but for this worship service as well. So I thank you so much. So good morning again. It's so good to be with you this morning. For those of you who I haven't met yet, my name is Caleb Chang, and I am one of the lay elders here at Core Brookline. My wife Selena and I have been part of this church family since way, way back. September 2010, it was just a couple of weeks after we officially launched. Back when we were still meeting over at the Driscoll School in Washington Square. Our son Jesse, did he go to the bathroom? No, okay. was born here in Boston in 2013, and like many of the little ones who were dedicated last week, he was also dedicated right here at COA as well. From early on, Selena and I jumped into a community group, and over the years, we've had the joy of leading several CGs. These days, we're facilitating the Chang CG on Thursday nights. I've been serving as a lay elder for a number of years now, though, to be honest, I've kind of lost track of how many years. Joy. No. A few weeks ago, Tyler sent a message out to the lay elders asking if anyone might be willing to preach while the staff pastors were away this weekend. You know, when the cats are away, the mice will play, kind of thing. So I volunteered. I said, yes. Let me say right off the bat, I'm so grateful for our pastors, Bland, Mike, and Tyler. God has clearly gifted each of them. And I count it as a joy and a privilege to serve alongside them and the rest of the elders here at COA. I especially want to thank Tyler and Bland for their support in helping me prepare today's message, and Bland in particular for coaching me through the process with encouragement and wisdom. Also, I want to thank my wife, Selena, again, and to meet so many of you for your prayers and support. I don't take this lightly, and I truly appreciate it. So before we dive into the word together, would you join me in a brief prayer? Our Heavenly Father, you are wonderful. And marvelous. You deserve all of our praise, all of our joys, and all of our devotion. I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to be present with us right now as you want to share what you have to say right now with everyone here and those who are listening. Father God, we are so grateful, even through the chaos, even through this broken world that we live in. But for now, right now, from the very young to the very not so young, would you be with us? Open up our ears, our hearts, and our mind to receive your good news. So now, he must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. So, if you've been journeying with us for the past few months, then you know we've been in a sermon series titled A Life Pleasing to God. There we go. Rooted in the book of 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament of the Bible. The letter is a very first one Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. That was the biggest city in Macedonia, second only to Athens in terms of size and influence. Paul was writing to encourage and strengthen these new Christians, new believers, reminding them of their new life in Christ. Their bond with Paul and the other missionaries so Timothy as well as Silas, and giving them some key instructions for what it means to live as followers of Jesus Christ in their context. By the way, if you ever want to revisit a previous sermon or catch up on the series, catch up on the week that you missed, we've got them all posted on our Coa Brookline YouTube channel. And I highly recommend it. Our pastors have done a remarkable job walking through this series. Also, as a plug and as a reminder, our next House of Prayer time is coming up soon, on Saturday, July 12th, 5 p.m. at the 133. If you don't know, several months ago, we had kicked off and we've had, if you've been there, many of you have, if you've been there, we've changed and transformed the atmosphere, transformed the place into a house of prayer. So many people had come to receive prayer, to give prayer, to pray for one another, as well as writing down prayers for the future of God has and continues to work with us. So, and we also have a prayer room that we continue to use for prayer on Monday nights at 7:30. So I invite you to join us for those things as well. So again, it's coming up Saturday, July 12th, 5 o'clock at the 133. There's more details to come, as always, next week, but please mark your calendars. Now, when we talk about a life pleasing to God, and we're not just talking about something that we can will ourselves into being. This kind of life isn't something we grind out in our own strength. It's a supernatural life, a life that's only possible as we rely on the Holy Spirit. That reliance on the Spirit protects us from falling into two extremes. On the one hand, legalism, thinking that we can earn God's favor through performance. So that can mean a lot of things, right? It could mean, oh, I gotta read my Bible more. I'm gonna go and not miss on Sundays. I'm going to help the poor. I'm gonna give more. Just the list is long, isn't it? To try to do with performance. On the other hand, passivity. So just waiting for God to do everything else while we sit on the sidelines as spectators. You know, living in a city like Boston, which is a transient, globally minded, intellectually vibrant place like Thessalonica was, it's easy to feel overwhelmed or burned out, trying to live our lives, living out our faith. But depending on the Spirit turns God's commands from burdens into opportunities. Moments for his power to shine through our weakness. It grows our faith. It causes fruit to flourish in our community. And it shows the world something different, something beautiful. It shows them Jesus. Last week, Pastor Bland preached on verses 12 and 13, if you remember, where Paul starts his final section of the letter with instructions on how to love and honor leaders in the church. Today, we're continuing on verses 14 and 15, as our lovely children have read for us. These are short verses, but packed with insight. So let me read them again. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Amen. Now, how? How do we do that? Silence, okay. How do we live this out in a world that is so broken, so confusing, and so quick to push us around? I want to point you ahead just to a few verses, verse 18 in the same chapter. Paul ends that sentence with this phrase, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This life of love, patience, and goodness is the will of God for you, for me, and for us. So today I want us to explore this life pleasing to God under three headings. First, rebuke in love, restore with compassion, remember and respond. admonish the idol. The word admonish in the Greek literally means to put something into someone's mind. It's not harsh, it's not cold. It's a gracious, ongoing correction aimed at helping someone step back into alignment with God's purposes. In this context, Paul is talking about those who are idle, people who are disruptive, disorderly, neglecting their responsibilities, maybe even critical of others, but unwilling to contribute themselves. Let me paint a fictional but familiar picture. Carol, again, fictional. Carol had been part of the women's ministry for years. She showed up regularly but didn't help with the behind-the-scenes work. So no setup, no cleanup. While others served, she often stayed on the sidelines or scrolling up on her phone. She was outspoken about her passion for discipleship, but that often looked like critiquing others, pointing out flaws in parenting or marriages, which you parents out there, you know that's the third rail, right? Do not talk about my kids, right? Sometimes questioning even the leader's spiritual maturity. Quietly, she stirred doubt. At one planning meeting, she insisted the group cancel a service event in favor of spiritual warfare prayer. When her idea wasn't adopted, she grew offended and began privately messaging others, sowing division. Eventually, two mature women invited her for coffee. With grace and firmness, they shared how her words and actions were harming the group and reminded her of Paul's call to admonish the idle, help the weak, and seek the good of all. At first, she resisted, but through ongoing love and truth, she came to see her part. She started serving quietly, apologized to the group, and her gifts began to bless others, this time in humility. Now, the point is this. To admonish or admonishing isn't about proving someone wrong. It's about restoring someone to their purpose in Christ. It's not fueled by frustration, but by love. It's not rooted in preference, but in Scripture. And when we do this as a church, we create a culture where grace and truth walk hand in hand. So Paul goes on. Not only does he call us to rebuke in love, he calls us also to restore with compassion. Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all. Let's break that down. So encourage the faint-hearted. These are the discouraged, the anxious, the spiritually weary. What they need isn't a lecture. It's presence. It's being there with them and for them. Sometimes just walking with them, listening, and loving them is more powerful than quoting a dozen verses. Help the weak. This means stepping in with real, tangible support. Maybe it's someone struggling financially, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Helping doesn't always mean solving the problem, but it always means showing up, being there. Be patient with everyone, because growth takes time, because change takes time, and because healing takes time. Let me share with you a story of Adam. Not the Adam, but an Adam. A young man named Adam joined a community group after recently moving to Boston. He was a new Christian, overwhelmed by life in a new place, struggling with anxiety, and unsure of his faith. He rarely spoke up, and some weeks he didn't show up at all. Instead of letting him drift away, Jonas, one of the group members, began sending him gentle texts after each meeting. "Hey, bro, we missed you tonight. Just wanted you to know we're here if you need anything." He followed up consistently, never pressuring Adam, just encouraging him to stay connected. That's encouragement. Not just comforting words, but an ongoing relational effort to calm fear and build confidence. When Adam finally shared that he was struggling with rent and couldn't afford groceries, a group stepped in. Two people brought him meals, Someone helped him find a part-time job, and others prayed with him regularly. That's help. Meeting practical and spiritual needs, not from a distance, but hands-on personal care. There were times when Adam pulled back again or got frustrated with himself. The group didn't give up on him, though. They listened, they prayed, and gave him space to grow. It wasn't always easy. Some members had to resist the urge to fix him. But they stayed committed and gentle. This is what it means to restore with compassion, encourage, help, be patient. It's not flashy. It's not always easy. You know it's not easy. We know it's not easy. But it reflects the heart of Christ. And patience, I mean, let's be real. Patience, certainly we all need it for the next movement, the third movement, which is do not repay evil for evil, but seek to do good. Let's all admit that once again that this one is hard. It's very hard. I see the nodding of the heads. Yeah, amen. Yes. Because let's just look around the world these days, right? Or even in our own hearts. I know I could be a completely different person when I'm driving. And Selena and Jesse could attest to that. So this is hard. Paul calls us to a different standard, though, a radical standard, right? Not just avoid revenge, but to actively pursue good, even to those who wrong us. Again, extremely hard. One of the clearest pictures of this comes from the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. During the Civil Rights Movement, as you may know from history books, that Dr. King faced relentless threats, insults, violence, and injustice. One night in 1956, his home was bombed while his wife and baby daughter were inside. A crowd gathered, angry and ready to fight. But Dr. King stepped outside and said, "We must meet hate with love. We must meet physical force with soul force. We must love our enemies." Dr. King chose the way of Christ, the way of mercy, truth, and love in the face of evil. Friends, that was not a weakness, no. My voice was a weakness. But the way of Christ, mercy, truth, and love in the face of evil, that's not a weakness. That is the Holy Spirit-empowered courage. Paul says, don't mirror the world's rage. Reflect Christ's mercy. Do not repay evil. Redeem it through Christ. Now, let me ask you, because this is where belief turns into action, as we know, some of us know from James chapter 1, the only way we can become this kind of community is if each of us is seeking to live this out by God's grace. So, are you open to rebuking a brother or a sister in love? And are you open to receiving that from them? Are you quick to restore others with compassion? Or do you find yourself holding a grudge, avoiding taking on burdens of others to help lift them out? Or maybe even judging the weak instead? And what about grace? Right? We talk about grace, community, and mission all the time. What about grace? Are you quick to remember God's grace to you and extend that to others? Or do you find yourself wanting them to really, really pay when they've wronged you? I ask these questions often for myself. So now maybe you're hearing all this and thinking, wow, Caleb, that's a lot. That's a lot. I can't do this. I can't do that. I've been trying to do this. I've been trying to be good. But I just messed up. I just cut off somebody just as I came here today. This is a lot. I don't know how to deal with it. And you know what? It is, right? Let's be honest. So we hear people, we hear stories of people like Dr. King or Corrie ten Boom or Mother Teresa. Or what about other spiritual heroes in your life whom you've known well or even personally? Maybe your parents, maybe your grandparents, Sunday school teachers, friends, mentors, other pastors. By God's grace, I've had several in my life, but I just don't have enough time to name them all right now. However, one of them was my former pastor, Tim Keller, in New York City. I served at Redeemer Church many years as one of the deacons and got to know Tim personally. He was a giant in the faith and certainly, after my mom, a huge influence in my spiritual journey with Jesus. So we're inspired by men and women like these, but also maybe a little discouraged, right? Because we think, we wonder, could I ever really live like that, like them, like Jesus? Let me remind you, yes, because this word, God's word, is for you. Not just for the super Christians. Back in the day when I was growing up, I heard other things like turbo Christians. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, they go fast? Are they like Sonic and they roll their feet or something like that? I was like, I could never be a turbo Christian. Maybe I don't want to be a turbo Christian because my legs are short and stuff, but. No, it's not just for these super Christians, these giants of our faith, these heroes who we admire. This is God's will in Christ Jesus for you, for us, for me. So as we close, only through the Holy Spirit of God can we rebuke in love, restore with compassion, remember and respond. Let's become a church that is known not for perfection, but for grace. A people who seek to please God, not by striving harder, but by depending deeper on Him. Let's live this out in our community groups, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, even with strangers. Why? Why should we do this? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And this, in Jesus' name we say, amen. Let's pray. Father God, continue to extend your love and grace in our lives. This message will not go in vain because it is from you. Would you meet with each and every one of us here and hearing the message to come to you, Lord, to question you, Lord, even, but to always know that you are love, you love us, you're patient with us, and your grace is sufficient. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.